So something happened when I met Jax that I did not expect. My mom got a little jealous. Yeah, I remember if I would buy Jax something like a scarf, my mom would be like, I like scarves. I'm like, you're not my girlfriend. Their birthdays are 5 days apart, which is my nightmare.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
When I was born, she really, really wanted my mom to name me Fortune. She's like, that's the name. I'm telling you, like, that her name's supposed to be Fortune. And my mom really resisted it. And she said I would have to be Miss America to live up to a name like that. So I'm like, how dare you think I couldn't?
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, yeah, guys and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Oatley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. It's a Saturday, and yes, we're here just for you. It's a TCB infomercial bonus episode with Fortune Feimster here today with us, the very famous, all over the place, can't stop her, Fortune. I just love...
Oh my God, I've been a fan for so long.
Very excited about
Chelsea
this one.
Chelsea Lately and...
The Mindy Project.
The Mindy Project of, you know...
Now she's in FUBAR.
Three stand-up specials now.
The next Netflix special's coming out on Tuesday, as this is being released, the following Tuesday. Her brand new Netflix special, the first two...
Crushing it.
Killed it. And so the third one is here. And no end in sight for Fortune. Can't wait to talk to her. So thank you for joining us. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're still in the middle of it. That's the best thing about Thanksgiving is you get out early on Wednesday and you don't go back to work till Monday. It's just lovely. I love it. I love it. A 5 day weekend.
Lots of food, football, Christmas movies, all that good stuff. Family.
Who
if you
amongst
want it.
Us? That's right.
If you want it.
If you don't, you're probably listening to the commercial break. Your family has left you or you've left them and you're like, I really need something to undepress me from my depressing family. Let us be that with Fortune. She'll be here in just a few minutes. I was just reading, you know, she's in that new Netflix television show, FUBAR,
yes,
with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like an action comedy. And I started watching a few of the episodes in anticipation of Fortune being here. And it's really funny. And Arnold is just, he's naturally gifted at being the straight man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And I sense that he has always wanted to be a comedian. But, you know, his accent and a lot of his size, that's not what he's built for. But he's really good at playing off people who are comedic, and Fortune is great in this show.
I mean, Kindergarten Cop is pretty fucking funny.
It's pretty funny, but he's still like the straight man in the movie. Like, even the kids, you know, the kids tell the punchlines, and he, you know, it's not a tumor. It's not a tumor. So, and she's on like this small little tour, and then we'll talk to her about
Hundred City. Small.
No, well, right now she's doing smaller, but she just got done with a Hundred City tour. That's unbelievable to 100 fucking cities.
I know.
I mean, you would think that would be fun, but I think by city number 20, you're probably like, okay, get me back to my own fucking bed. I mean, you know what
it's
I'm saying?
A
like,
lot.
When I go on vacation, you know, we went to Europe, we went to Spain for a month and some change last year. And by day number 15, I could have used my own bed, even though there were still some exciting parts of the trip. But in that case, I was doing absolutely no work whatsoever. When you go on a 100-city tour, you are just killing it all the time out there, you know, working. We'll talk to her about it. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know, Chrissy, just so you know, if I happen to be moody over the next couple of weeks, it's because I've started dipping my toe back in the news water.
I have started to watch a little
bit of news. I had to turn on that morning Joe and see what Joe and everybody was so up in arms.
I know.
And I was like, wait, I think it's a good thing that they're taught. But then I'm listening to Joe and I'm like, nah, yeah, you're an idiot.
I haven't delved back into the actual televised news.
No.
I'm just getting mine now from
40%. 40% of us who watched certain channels like CNN and MSNBC and other news stations have turned off the news altogether. Mm-hmm. The ratings just plummeted. And so they plummeted so far that Rachel Maddow, the star of MSNBC, like they call her, I think they called her like a ratings boner or something. Somebody referred to as a ratings boner because ratings get hard when she, like ratings go high when she shows up. She took a $5 million a year pay cut.
I saw that.
To stay at MSNBC. First of all, good for her. She knew that, you know, other people needed to get paid and she, people would probably lose their $5 million is no small bit. Mm-mm. But then I learned that she was making 30.
I know.
I was like, holy shit. $30 million a year. She's on one night a week. $30 million a year. That's an incredible job. MSNBC, call me. I know I'm not like a noted newscaster and I really am terrible with facts of any shape or size. But
you do have that inflection down. You could replace that guy.
That's right. Yeah,
the midday guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Jose Diaz Ballart. Jose Diaz bullshit. I mean, that guy is just terrible. I'm sorry, Jose. I'm sure you were great wherever you came from. I think you came from Univision, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure you were wonderful wherever you came from, but you are really bad at what you do. I mean, just really bad at it. But then again, who's watching MSNBC at 11:15 in the morning? You know what I'm saying? Like MSNBC at 11:15 in the morning, nobody's watching. So they probably got, I guarantee he's not making $30 billion a year. That's for sure. So I wanted to get you back up to speed that I was watching the news.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I'll keep that in mind.
When you see
don't
me,
be moody here.
Yeah, when you pull up and I'm on top of the roof,
no.
Threatening to jump, you know why. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and you're enjoying your extended vacation.
Write us in and tell us some funny stories about that because there's always some.
Oh, yeah. You must write us and tell us about your family shenanigans. We have to know. The crazier, the better. The worse, the better. I know a few of you out there are really good at writing those kind of stories, so I'm not going to name you by name. But please write us in. Tell us how your family events were. We'd love to hear it. What were your traditions? How terrible did they go? How terribly wrong did it all go? Yeah, I only want terrible Thanksgiving stories. Don't write me and say all the kids had fun. That I don't give a shit, okay? It's not that kind of show. Just a small reminder, 12 Days of TCB coming up December 13th through the 25th. That's right, brand new episodes of The Commercial Break, even on Christmas Day. So, Mary, happy birthday, Jesus.
Gather around the tree and the fire.
Gather around the manger.
You got a new Sonos.
Yes, that's
pipe
right.
Pipe is in.
Your Amazon Echo, put it in the manger in your little Christmas. Put it in the manger in your little Christmas village and say, hey, play Brian's Got a Boner, episode number 688.
Let us not leave out our
Jewish friends. Happy Hanukkah to you, too. I think Hanukkah and Christmas actually align together, my wife was saying to me. And Festivus and all. And
Kwanzaa
and Krampus and all that other shit that you guys celebrate. Congratulations to everybody on a job well done on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I'm congratulating all the people who cooked us food before they actually cook us the food so that I sound generous afterwards. How's that?
That's a good tactic.
I told myself, I was like, let me say congratulations on great cooking.
Yeah, put it into the universe.
Yes, put it in the universe.
It is good food.
That way, when I'm complaining about it, it's like 2 weeks later and no one's really going to know. All right, let's do this. Let's take a short break and then we'll come back with Fortune here on the studio television and we'll talk to her about
the
magic of telepodcasting. We'll figure it all out. What do you say, Chrissy?
I say let's do it.
Let's do it. We'll be back.
Brian might have just said it's time to take a break, but some of us have to work right now. And by work, I mean gently nudge you, nay, beg you, to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Because listen, the more followers we get, the more clout I get with Chrissy and Brian. If you've got something to say, give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3TCB or shoot us a text. One more thing, Check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, where you can find all of our audio and video and even request a new sticker from the Contact Us form. Bye!
Fortune, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Hello, Fortune.
Hi, you guys. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Our pleasure.
So this episode will be airing right after the Thanksgiving holiday. So tell me, I'm assuming you're just spending some time with family over the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's hard to try to, you know, with two families to get to. Mm-hmm. You can't do the holiday with both of them. So I try to go close to the holiday and see my family.
Yes.
But then I go to Jax's, my wife's family, because they're better cooks and they're better hosts. No shade to my mom. She provides me a lot of fun, quirky material, but cooking is not her thing.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom either. It's all... I was telling Chrissy the other day, we were talking about gravies and sauces. Like, are you a gravy and sauce person? I am definitely a gravy and sauce person. I think that comes from my mother, who was just a terrible cook. And she may have known it. And then she smothered everything in sauces and gravies.
Get that barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah. God forbid they taste the actual pork.
Right.
My brother used to smell the food to see if it was... if it was expired. And it drove my mom crazy, but he knew what was up.
he had a detector, huh?
Yeah. He's like, something's not sitting right about this barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
So when do you like the holiday like round table? Do you like, okay, this year we got to spend the actual Thanksgiving day with my family, and then next year we're going to spend it with your family? Or is there like a set schedule? I always get fascinated by this with people who have, I mean,
married,
a lot of people have
partners.
Yeah. We did that for a long time, many, because we're 10 years in now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Our first like six, I think, we tried to do the like, we'll go to your families and then my family, because that's what my brothers had set up.
Yeah.
And then we realized that we don't have kids, and what are we doing? We don't have to be there.
That's right.
And the pandemic kind of did that, you know, where...
Yeah.
We stayed home for the holidays, and we were like, oh, this is actually kind of nice, because we travel all the time for my tour. Unfortunately, one of the things that went by the wayside was going to my family's. But when you don't have kids, I feel like it's different, you know?
Let me tell you something. One of the advantages to being a breeder over here is that when you have children, then you determine, and I have, there's four boys in my family, so I'm one of four. I'm the only one with children. So I get to dictate exactly how the holidays go. And if you don't like it, fuck yourself. I mean, you know, like, you're not going to
see the kids.
You're not going to see your nieces and nephews for the holidays.
And I would be like, fine.
Some of my brothers do, by the way. Some of my brothers don't.
You don't threaten me with a good time. I don't have to spend my family holiday at home watching people rip through presents in 5 seconds?
Right.
It can certainly get annoying. Fortune, you're on a bit of a tear right now, I would say. You certainly... If I feel like you're everywhere. Like when they said, hey, you want to talk to Fortune? And I was like, oh my gosh, she is everywhere.
I've been a fan for a long time. From Chelsea Lately. And then
Mindy Project. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
I know that when we talk to people, sometimes even I feel like, oh, people just popped out of nowhere. But there's a lot of work that comes behind that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
There's 10 years of work to get to have your moment in the sun, whatever it is. So, and you got your start, you were doing comedy when you were in college, is that right?
I did some theater in college, no comedy, but it was in the South, in North Carolina. You know, so it was like us trying to do Shakespeare with these crazy ass Southern accents. I hadn't really been exposed to the comedy part yet, other than like growing up watching Saturday Night Live and the reruns of the Carol Burnett Show. So like I knew comedy, I loved it, but I did not know you could do that for a living. So I moved to LA 21 years ago, which seems wild now.
Wow.
And not to pursue comedy. Just I had a job that I was gonna do, and it was just kind of a life experience. And I had a really hard time making friends because, you know, in the South, you go into a gas station and chat with people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like that in LA. Everyone kind of keeps themselves. You don't really talk to your neighbors. It's a little more isolating. And so I started taking classes at the Groundlings, where like Will Ferrell and Melissa McCarthy, all these people had studied at, Kristen Wiig. And the dream was to be on SNL. But again, it was like, I think that's the only way to do comedy is if you get on SNL.
Yeah.
So that was my path for a long time. Once I took these classes just to make friends, it quickly grew into a passion, and I kept getting encouraged to continue. And it was like discovering that was, I think, the greatest gift, because then my life had a path now.
Right.
Yes. I get this. My personal opinion is you can't be as talented at what you do, and it just seems to come so natural. The animations, the voices that you go in and out of, the comedic style that you have, I think is just like you're born with that. And now you can practice it, and people can help it kind of bloom, right? By being around other people who have certain sensibilities they can share, and you learn and all that. But that's something you're born with. Was this in you always? Did you feel like this sense of these comic sensibilities, this timing was always part of who you were?
I think I had moments of it. I was a little shyer than people would have assumed. I had times where I was the class clown and making everyone laugh, and then other times I was a bit of a wallflower, just kind of watching people. But I kind of came into some of my personality in high school. And I started watching SNL and would like memorize these sketches and like perform them for people. So I started to learn to make people laugh by using other people's stuff.
Material?
Yeah. I would learn like Adam Sandler's, you know, Thanksgiving song or Hanukkah song and sing that to people. So I was learning by mimicking at first and just kind of watching and absorbing, and then I'd be really shy and then have like the spurt of funny. And then when I got to college, that started to come out more. And even though I had terrible stage fright, so my performance on stage was not successful. It was when I moved to LA, I had, I think like you said, that natural ability, but I didn't know how to bring it out of myself. So the one thing I did learn from classes and years of, I think it was at the Growling 7 years, is I learned how to hone it. And when I started stand up in 2007, that was at the Comedy Store. I didn't know what I was doing there either. I knew I was comfortable on stage. It seemed like people liked me, and those are two hard things to overcome right off the bat.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I've done those right away. Let me work on what is my voice. What am I trying to say? How do you tell a story? And that's the thing that gets better over years and evolves, because this is my third hour that's coming out on Netflix, and I can even see my, thank you, I can see my voice and my storytelling evolve in each one.
Yeah, I think, you know, I forget who said this, but it's like, you know, 10,000 hours, right? There's an old saying, 10,000 hours is to become a master, an expert. The people who do things in this world the best have 10 and on average 10,000 hours of doing what they do. I think when you're as gifted as you are comically and as an actress, it's like that energy is there. It's just either stuck inside or it's very wily, and you don't know what to do with it until you start to get those hours, get those reps under your belt. I mean, Chrissy and I are 38,000 hours into this podcast, and I've said this to her before, and I mean it, and I think it's true, and it'll probably be true at 1,000 hours from now, but I don't think till episode number 400 did I actually feel like we knew what the fuck we were
really
doing.
Yeah, it's
just reps, you know. It's getting in there and trying to figure out what works and what your voice is like, what's the personality of the show.
Yeah,
and those two things, I think if you're not creative or you're not in a creative endeavor, it sounds like, well, that's silly. Your voice is your voice. Not really. Like, you know, you have to, it takes a lot of time to figure out how you convey that appropriately, or how you use that energy in a way. I love your type of storytelling because it's just, I don't know, to me, it scratches an itch in comedy. Mm-hmm. There's other storytellers out there that do this really well also. I think of like Kyle Kinane or some of these other people. They're really good at this, but you're extraordinarily talented at taking your life and turning it into something really funny and entertaining. Do you fear family get-togethers sometimes because you use all the material?
Well, as if anyone watches Crushing It, this latest one, you'll see I talk a lot about my mom. So she gives me a wealth of material alone. and I talk a lot about my wife, Jax, too. But yeah, I kind of always am hoping that my mom will say something crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm quickly writing it down. Uh-huh. Because there's one story in my special, I talk about my mom falling in a cemetery. And a lot of the stuff I write, I'll amp it up. I'll like write punchlines, and I do a little bit of that in that story. But like 95% of that story is just what she said. And I was like, this doesn't seem real. Like you don't, like, this doesn't seem like what a normal person would say.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so fun. So yeah, I take these like moments in my life and people are familiar with my mom now and I just try to spit them back out in a way that's like, how can I, because my stories are long too. I'm like,
yeah,
how can I keep someone's attention for 8 whole minutes of a story? And that's been my biggest thing to try to work on and hone, was like my every story is like, you know, 6 to 10 minutes. So it's like, I got to keep your attention on each one of these stories for a whole hour.
Yeah.
But it forces me to, you know, work hard at coming up with the through lines and punch lines. And I always try to have a narrative that's sort of a grander theme of the special. And I always try to bring it back around so that there's payoffs from the early things.
It's
now
like
being
writing
paid off
a season of television. It's like writing a season of Breaking Bad for your special. Yeah. It's like themes within the themes, keeping people entertained. But at the end, you know, it always comes back around.
But it's my job to be like, I'm just coming up with this just now.
Right.
Off the cuff.
Make it seem natural. Yeah.
That's a great ability, honestly.
But you go out on the road a lot, and I'm sure that that's where you say, okay, I have this idea. Let me see if I can punch it for the next 5 minutes, and I'll take notes in my head about what's landing and what's not. Do you still, when you get up in front of an audience at like a small club and you're working on new material, do you still have that fear of the train coming off the tracks,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm writing new. Every time you put out a special, you have to write a whole new hour, which is like the worst part of this. I'm like, can't I just sing Cheeseburger in Paradise? What? Yeah. Like, musicians have it made.
That's crazy. Sam Morril says the exact same thing. And he says, listen, the worst part about being a comedian is that
you can't play the hits.
Yeah, unlike Guns N' Roses, I can't play Sweet Child of Mine every time.
I know.
That's why people come. If they see my special, it's old. They no longer want to hear it.
Yeah,
they expect something new.
I still have people wanting me to tell the Hooters story from my Sweet and Salty special. Yeah. So I'll do something like that at the end. But yeah, you got to write a whole new hour because people want to be surprised every time. Otherwise, they're like, oh, we've heard this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm in New York right now. I was at the Cellar last night. The hardest part is like, I like to write everything out like a story on paper. I like to know where it's going and like add some structure to it. And then I put it on its feet. So for me, the panic is I have to now memorize a 8-minute story that I just wrote. And it's easier once you've been on tour because you're doing it every stinking day.
Yeah.
It gets in your bones. But in the beginning, you're like, wait, what did I write? What was that? And so you're kind of in your head on stage.
Yeah.
I like it when I get to the point where it's just flowing freely. But both these last, especially these last couple, two specials, the last 3 years I've been on two tours back to back, 100 cities with 150 shows each. That material, I think, was honed as much as I could possibly hone it.
Yeah, I think But I see what you're saying. Like, when you first go out there and you're working on material, okay, you've, you know, you spent the last whatever, however many days or weeks or whatever, writing this out. In my head, this feels good. It's got a flow to it. I'm trying to memorize the beats and the notes so that I can at least get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And at first, you're like, literally seeing the paper in your head, trying to remember those beats and those notes. So it doesn't come as naturally, and maybe some of the comic timing and the other things, the accents that you might put on it aren't there yet.
Right.
But as it starts to get deep into your bones, then you can, it's like improv. It's like the Grateful Dead, right?
Yeah.
I know I'm going to go slip
they're
not
just
into
like riffing
Sugar
on these long ass songs.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get this as a Charlotte fan. It's like a Widespread Panic song. Right? I know I'm going to go from here to here, but in between, I don't know, I'll throw in some.
We'll figure it out as we go.
An Allman Brothers song or seven.
But it's part of the journey, you know? It's, it keeps me on my toes, because honestly, if you did, if people didn't force us to do this, I would want to just tell Hooters stories every night.
Yeah.
So it does by nature force me to be better at my job than I might have wanted to be.
And comedy really is kind of in a golden age, I think, right now. With and I've said this before, and I'll give them shit about all of their live shows, Netflix, but Netflix and Amazon, and to some degree, I guess, Max, they've kind of put their weight behind comedians and their success.
Yeah.
Really, they see this as a vehicle for fresh material. It's great content. They can put it out. There's multiple different voices.
People need to laugh.
Sure. Yes. And so therefore, now the comedy is really seeing a huge revival. My understanding is, because I was just a kid back then, but my understanding is not since the 80s has comedy really been as hot as it is right now. And you're selling out. Like, I love your Instagram post. It tells where you're going to be for the next 5 weeks, but then it just says sold out. I mean, here's where I'm going to be, but fuck you if you want tickets.
Man. I mean, it's a blessing because selling tickets is so hard. You know,
of course.
You're in so many cities and there's so many people out there. There's so much entertainment you're competing with. I think part of the boom is that people aren't going to the movies as much anymore. And studios aren't putting out comedies in theaters anymore. And people still want shared experiences. Yeah. You know, we've been isolated a lot via social media. You think you're surrounded by people, but you're alone in your room scrolling. And and I miss those days of like being in a theater laughing at like a bridesmaid's movie. It's funnier when you experience it with people. So people are getting that by watching live comedy. And it shows me that there's still a big demand for it. And so I'm lucky that I'm an actor and I'm a stand-up. So where acting is dipping a bit, they're finding their way in this new world of media.
Yeah. Sure.
The stand-up part's really thriving. And, you know, it's a dream. You want to, you work so hard on this material, you want people to see it. So I've gotten to perform in, like, these amazing theaters. The Chicago Theater, the Beacon Theater last tour were, like, That's bucket list ones for me.
Yeah, the Beacon.
Yeah,
what's
so
it like to walk out in the Chicago Theater? I grew up in Chicago, by the way, so I know
that's right, the theater well.
You walk out on that stage and there's just a throng of people.
Yeah, it's
on
crazy.
Their feet
that's
for
like
you.
A 3,000 seat theater. I think.
I think it's like 3,200 or something like that. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, and we almost added a second one. And I was like, could I possibly? I don't know. And I got too chicken to try. I'm like, let's quit while we're ahead. So the goal of this tour, I think, would try to do two. It was incredible. My wife, I met her in Chicago. An early day, she took me to the Chicago Theater to see Carol Burnett in a Q&A. And I just remember being in that theater just being like, whoa, this is like next level. And Carol was such a influence on my comedy. It just felt very much like
one day I'll be here
where Carol sat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a really neat thing to experience.
I love that.
That's
for
her
you.
City, and I filmed my last special there, and everyone in Chicago has like been so crazy supportive of me because I think they feel kinship because that's her city, and we have a lot of love and respect for Chicago. So yeah, and all the ushers are in like these like cloak. What do you call them? Yeah. Capes.
It's
very old school, but like
very old
school. They make an event of it, you know?
Yeah.
When you go to the Chicago Theater, you're at a theater, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you're at a theater from 1920, and it's just an experience in and of itself. But then the room, such majesty and like entertainment royalty has come through that theater for 100 years.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a comedian, we know that. But really, you're also...
I'm a model.
You're a model.
That's right.
I'm a comedian, a model. I'm a pragmatic pragmatist. But also, you've done very well for yourself acting also. And so tell me, of the two passions, I know that probably comedy pays the bills on a regular basis.
Yes.
But acting has got to be also just as exciting. It's kind of a quick hit in and out. You work for whatever, a couple months, or unless you're on a series, you work for a couple months, you make a bucket of money, and then you can take a couple days off.
Yeah, it's funny. Acting was like such a like goal of mine for so long when I was on Chelsea Lately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember Chelsea would say, "What do you want to do?" I was like, "I want to act. I want to be on a show." So I wasn't even on the path to be like doing stand up to the extent I am right now.
Yeah.
That I kind of just fell into that as far as, when the acting, you know, I'm a specific type. I can't just fit into like every role and every project. So I think I started doing a lot more stand up to fill the time between acting.
Yeah.
But for me, acting was like, oh, that's my goal and that's what I want to do. And I've been lucky to, after I left Chelsea Lately, I went and did a couple pilots with Tina Fey. Those didn't get picked up, but you know, all these no's lead to yeses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that project with Tina Fey led to working with some 30 Rock people, which led to Mindy Kaling's best friend, Lang Fisher, who they write together. She was on 30 Rock and she recommended me for the Mindy project, and that. And the Mindy Project is what opened the doors for my whole acting career. So I got to do, like, you know, cool, like, recurring characters in this show called, like, Life in Pieces. And I did this movie, Office Christmas Party. And I'm basically hired to, like, come into a film or TV show and act like a crazy person and then leave.
You do seem to have kind of this, like, but that's my favorite version of you is when you're kind of like, I don't want to say clueless, but you're like so incredibly confident.
Yeah,
you know, like
so this, overconfident.
Yes, this like this weird vulnerable obsolescence here. And I love it. I think you play it so well.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, now I'm, you know, I did some sitcoms for a while. That was kind of my world. And those are obviously getting made less and less. And now I'm in this crazy action comedy world. I'm doing FUBAR with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I know. That's insane, which is great, by the way. I watched the first couple of episodes last week. It's really, that's crazy.
It's really wild.
Comedy with,
you know, it's one of those... those shows you don't have to think too much. We're going to entertain you for an hour and try to make you laugh and have some cool explosions.
Yeah.
And I think season two, which will come out in the spring, is we amp up the comedy even more. I think it's a better season because we didn't really know what we were shooting first season.
Yeah.
And now we have, you know, we just have fun with it. And there's a lot of talented people in that show. And Arnold's just fun to watch. You know, he knows what he does, and he does it well, and he gives you
like
what you want to see.
With him?
So good. He's just a very kind, like, generous guy, funny. He loves comedians, so he loves to tease people and crack jokes, and there's no diva, you know, about him. He carries himself in a way that's, he knows his stature in life. He's been famous for like 50 years.
Right.
He's world famous, which is a different kind of fame.
Yeah.
But we went and rode bikes in Toronto. People are like, Arnold, every corner, Arnold, Arnold. And he's just like, hello.
Yeah.
He's like, he's been doing
he just
this
lives
so
his
long.
Life. Yeah.
He seem very kind. Like when you watch him on interviews,
yeah.
He seems like he's kind. He seems like he's wise.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that, and like, I don't love every bit of Mike Tyson and his life story. He's obviously done some things that are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But when you listen to him now in his older age,
mm-hmm.
he seems like he's learned a few things along the way.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem pretentious about it, right?
Yeah.
It's just he's not precious about who he is as a person. He gets all his foibles and he understands it. And Arnold seems the, very much the same way. I don't
You can see that's life. In his documentary on Netflix, you reach an age where you start reflecting on
successes
and mistakes, and he owns a lot of those. And but he's still like so active. He kind of lives his life like he's a governor still. He volunteers at organizations more than anyone I've ever met. He hands out, you know, food to veterans, and he's has an after school program for kids that's raised like something like $1 billion.
I mean,
he's always, if there's like people are still calling him to help fix problems.
I've
passed his iPad, and there's very important people on those iPads. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's just smoking a cigar, chatting with this very powerful person.
Wow. Yeah. I think also when you're world famous, like you said, you do kind of become a politician in a way, right? And whether we like it or not, entertainment and politics is often wrapped up together. And we see that, how that played out in this last election, for good, bad, or indifferent. But I think once you're a politician of a state, of like a governor of a state like California, people will always see you as someone who can either fix a problem or be part of a solution, right?
I think it's pronounced California.
California. Do you think, this is like a question to the left, do you think sometimes that people's names have to do with their destinies? Like, Fortune is a very interesting name. I know you got it from your great-grandmother, is that correct?
Yeah, it was my great-grandmother's maiden name.
And so it's great-grandmother's maiden name, but there's like the name Fortune seems to fit you so well, and it also describes like a little bit of your, like, you're a fortunate person. You've probably had your sense of troubles, but you really have had a lot of success also, especially over the last number of years.
Yeah.
And I was having this conversation with a friend of mine about 3 weeks ago. I think sometimes when you name a child, it's almost like that name either comes from the universe or you're placing some kind of destiny on them. I don't want to like make it sound all hooky pooky.
Yeah, no, there's something to that.
Yeah, hooky pooky. But when you name a guy Brian, you're pretty much
you're like Brian
mediocre
from Chicago.
Life. Like, yeah, Brian from Chicago. Yeah, you're gonna be a mediocre podcaster for the rest of your life.
No,
but what a name, Fortune. Is it? Do you feel fortunate to have the name Fortune?
Well, I kind of had to finagle it a bit because my grandmother, who I was super super close to, she lived right around the corner, was a big part of my childhood. And you know, my parents were so crazy busy and had three kids. She really stepped in and was like another mother. And she, when I was born, she really, really wanted my mom to name me Fortune. She's like, that's the name. I'm telling you, like, that her name's supposed to be Fortune. And my mom really resisted it. And she said I would have to be Miss America to live up to a name like that. Which I'm like, how dare you think I couldn't? And my mom loved the name Emily. And to her, that was like the quintessential little girl name.
Mm.
And part of my mom and I, our journey is that, you know, she for so long in my life wanted me to be that pretty little lady. Had dresses all over the place and just makeup, always being given makeup. And for her, like, Emily was like, that's my daughter. And I was never Emily, you know. Fortune was my middle name. And so I kind of grew up being who my mom had hoped I would be. And my grandmother died when I was 18, and when I got to LA a couple years later, I had known that she'd always wanted me to be named Fortune, and I just felt like my grandmother knew me before I knew myself, and she really instilled a lot of confidence and self-worth into me. And so I decided when I started taking Growlings that I would go by my middle name as a nod to her. In honor of her. Anytime someone calls me Fortune, it will be like my little like ear pull that Carol Burnett did. That's my version of it. Thinking like you could be, you know, I'll be Emily in life and Fortune on stage. And quickly I knew, I was like, oh, I was always meant to be mm-hmm. called Fortune. Like, I don't resonate at all with the name Emily.
Yeah.
It never fit. It was never who I was. And so I kind of had to, I did have to kind of step into the shoes of Fortune. But now it just fits so well. And it just felt like that was a gift my grandmother gave me.
Absolutely.
I think that's such a lovely and endearing story. Yeah. And like, your grandmother knew you were Fortune before you knew you were mm-hmm. Fortune, right? She understood it. She got it for some reason, whatever, the universe talking.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think our doors are open to the universe, even though we don't know what the fuck is coming out of us many years later, or maybe not even at all. And it's just like, you know, that's just one of those stories that I think indicates that there are greater forces at work a lot of times. You know, there are
energetic and I do believe
shepherds
that.
In life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do feel like I'm on some kind, I know it's, you know, what did you call it? Hokey pokey?
Yeah, hokey pokey.
I do kind of feel that in a weird way. It's weird to like say it out loud, but it does feel like I'm on this path and I don't know where it's going or why it's going certain places. I just kind of, I'm big on trusting my gut. Mm-hmm. I've had many forks in the road where I go, yeah, I have to make a really hard decision here. And one decision will lead me down this way other path, and this mm-hmm. one will go here. And I just, I have to trust that kind of inner thing. And I feel like it keeps leading me to where I'm supposed to be going. And I just do the hard work and show up and do my part of it and mm-hmm. see where it goes.
Well,
I
think you two have a very unique voice. You've never been, at least not in your public life, like since you've been, you know, been notable for entertaining people. Mm-hmm. You've always been who you are. You're always saying it out loud. And you probably, like, you do have a path. And I would imagine that path is intersecting with so many other paths.
Yeah.
And you're affecting those people in mm-hmm. ways that you probably will never know. And I'm sure you hear it here and there, like, oh my gosh, because of you, you know, I'm free to be who I am, or mm-hmm. I tell my own story, or I, you know, I got the confidence. But you're so confident about it and funny about it. And that, I mean, I guess we all do this in certain ways. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. we get an email here like, oh, because because you said this, it told me that I should do that or whatever. And that's the story of humanity. We're all just mm-hmm. kind of guiding each other in weird ways that we may not understand. But your voice is amplified.
Yeah.
By the time your mom called you from the cemetery.
I think that's the coolest part of my job, especially being a stand-up, because my actor friends, they don't get to like meet the people mm-hmm. watching as much. They'll, you know, occasionally meet the people out and about, like in LA or wherever. I'm in, like I said, 100 cities every year and a half. I'm meeting a bunch of people, you know, from the airport to the airplane to the hotel to the Uber to the, I mean, I am meeting people.
Yeah.
And it is, and I kind of stick out like a sore thumb, and I have for a while. I'm tall. I'm a larger woman. I have this crazy ass hair and this accent, and so I do a lot of high fives during the day.
I love that.
And I've just been in a lot of, I've basically been on TV since 2010 every year. So there's a lot of different things people know me from, but the byproduct of that, which I never knew could be a thing, is having people come up to me and telling me these really amazing things that a story or a special helped in some way, like mm-hmm. provide levity and, you know, really intimate. You're with people in very intimate, vulnerable times sometimes that you don't even realize, like, Sweet and Salty came out during like a month before the pandemic. And you know, I'm getting emails from people talking about being in the hospital or being with loved ones dying. Or I also got a lot of people writing me talking about my coming, because that special was a lot about coming out. And mm-hmm. I had parents who were, you know, kids were now with their parents again. When I say kids, I mean like,
like adult kids, like
24 and over. Yeah. They're hanging out with their parents more during that time. And some of the emails would say, like, I would get from parents saying, my kid put on your special to see how I would react.
Wow.
And if I liked it, they got the courage. We kind of knew, but that they were gay, but they never said, and they got the courage to tell us.
And I'm like, holy cow.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it blew my mind that it could be, because it is so hard to have that conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I can't believe that special was part of people helping ease that journey a bit. And I had, you know, I had people say, yeah, I didn't know how to tell my family or friends or whatever. And that helped me. And so, yeah, I never knew it could have that kind of effect. And I'm just like, because I just set out to like, I'm going to tell my truth. I'm going to tell my stories. This is who I am. I'm going to try to make you laugh. Mm. And to think like you can also help in these like little subtle right. ways just really means so much to me. And I take that responsibility. It means a lot to me. I don't sure. take it for granted.
In that moment, like in that moment when you're reading those, or when you think about those moments happening across the screen or on the yeah. other side of whatever, on the other side of a podcast or whatever it is, it's like all the struggle, right, mm-hmm. becomes worth it for a second. It's
yeah.
like, okay, this is what I was, I'm mm-hmm. obviously here
for
to,
sure.
I'm obviously here for a reason. And if this helped one person or got one person through something, I mean, I remember one time we had somebody write in and said that they were really low. They had a terrible job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their boss hated them. You know, it was just a really shitty, like kind of clock in, clock out
yeah.
Warehouse job. And they said, I had a moment during mm-hmm. the pandemic where I thought this was just it. Like, this is the mm-hmm. end. And then I found your show for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'm all 180 episodes in, because we have 1,000 of them. And I'm 180 episodes in, and it's kept me at yep. least from yeah. jumping off the bridge. And I couldn't believe it. First of all, I was like,
surprising.
Who the fuck is listening to this show? Second of all, I was
a lot
like,
of people.
Yeah, second of all, I was like, wow, that is incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a silly podcast, but to some people, it intersects with their lives mm-hmm. in a meaningful ways that you could never understand. And in that moment, every struggle and every shitty show and every tired mm-hmm. eye, not like we did dig ditches for a living, but it becomes worth it. And it becomes a little bit clear
yeah.
that your voice amplified has a purpose. And I think for you, that must... That, I don't know. I can only imagine. I had one email.
Yeah.
You have 33,000.
I mean,
it must feel good.
It does. And it's just, you know, it makes me, that's why I think I've really leaned into even more like putting out positive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like, it feels so Pollyanna, but it is my natural personality. I'm not yeah. putting on a thing where I'm like, you know, be positive, and then I'm just like the world's worst.
Yeah.
I genuinely wake up with a feeling of the glasses half full, which I uh-huh. know is
me
like
too.
Such a luxury. I know people that can't want to feel that and can't,
mm-hmm.
be it chemically or whatever is going on in your body. And I'm so grateful that, for the most part, and not that I don't have days, I'm seeing things through that lens. So
yeah.
when I put out comedy and material, even clips online, I try to do it with the bend of being on the positive side, because there's just a lot of negativity.
There is.
Really, it's just kind of counteracting what all we're consuming that's so doom mm-hmm. and gloom and fear based and negative. I'm like, who needs that right any more of that? Let me go in this other lane.
Yeah.
We you know, I tell my children this, and this is my language, not the one that I use for them, but I said, the world is full of shitheads. We don't need another one.
Yeah.
Right? And what I'm saying to them is there's lots of bad in the world. Be the good guy. Be the hero in small interactions and big interactions, because there's plenty of negative people, and mm-hmm. there's a bad guy around every corner. You don't need to be that bad guy, bad girl, whatever.
Right.
And so I kind of...
poo-poo heads?
Yeah. Shit.
Don't be a poo-poo head.
Yeah. The other day, the dog was barking and I just lost it, and I was like, shut the fuck up. And I didn't realize my young daughter was at the other end of the house,
yeah.
and she walks out in the hallway and she was like, Blue, shut fuck up. And I was like, ah. Oh, no. That's it.
Oh,
Dad's
no.
worst. Okay, so real quick, before we let you go, Jax, Jax doesn't like the limelight at all.
No.
Assuming from what you've said in the past and what
and
you
And it's getting worse and worse. She wants to be in it less and less. Not worse as far as like it's bad.
Yeah.
She just does not want to be famous.
Right.
And so
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I don't want
Chris.
Some people, I mean, people in LA can't fathom it. They're like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, not everyone's a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, Chrissy wants to have nothing to do with it. If she goes her whole life without anybody recognizing her outside of this studio, that'd be fine.
And that's fine, you know? Yeah. Like, with Jax, I say the same thing. I'm like, yeah, I chose this career. I love it. It brings me so much joy. Like, I work all the time. I am definitely a workaholic, but I love it. But if she doesn't want, I've had to be more conscious of, like, I don't post as much about our personal lives or, like, her. She'll be in things here and there, but
yeah.
I try to be considerate of not throwing her into the limelight too much.
Like, unintent. Like,
exactly, yeah.
And I get it. Like, sitting behind a microphone, it's like, you want to tell a funny story about something that happened during your day, or you want to, I don't know, do something, and then... I've also learned there are guardrails, right? You have to protect the people around you because they're not choosing to be behind this microphone. Mm-hmm. And that can be hurtful. And I think even in some ways scary. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. Like, does Jax travel with you?
Yeah, she travels a lot. I mean, for the first 8 years of our being together, she was, I think, at like 90% of shows.
Wow, that's great. Aww.
And then that first 100 city tour, I wore her out. And so by the time we got to the second 100 city tour, she was like, you know, you have a tour manager now.
Yeah.
Like, Jack's like selling merch in the beginning. Yeah. And just, she's very shy. So I forced her to be out of this comfort zone in so many situations. Just because I needed help. I was a one-man team.
Yeah.
She wanted to support me, and she did. And she's a producer on the last three specials, and is very active on my team. And, you know, she helped come up with the design of the stage for this last special. Like, she's just very smart. And so she's very active and involved, but I'm fine with her not wanting to be in the limelight. If I was with someone like that couldn't stop filming themselves, that would be crazy.
Kristen Wiig, the two of you would be obnoxious together. Chrissy and I have had this conversation a lot about like famous people and famous relationships, like two entertainers in a relationship.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I think we were talking to Poppy Liao about this. She was like, we were talking about if we were in a bunker, what would be your thing, right?
Yeah.
If you went down into a bunker,
and
the
everybody kind of has
everybody had their lane.
Their lane, yeah.
And we agreed that Poppy and I should never be in the same bunker because we just fight for attention. Yeah. It would end up being bad news.
Anytime I start posting a lot, Jax will kind of, she likes to joke with me. She's like, do you get enough attention? Is that good? I'm like,
yes. That's great.
Did you get your fix?
She keeps me grounded.
Did you get your fill? Yeah. Did you get your Fortune's brand new special on Netflix, number 3. Congratulations. I think
thank you. You
know, not everyone can say they've got 3 Netflix specials.
3-hour specials, 2 half-hours, a lot of content out there.
Thank you.
Let me ask you,
keep it going.
Produce them and then sell them to Netflix, or at this point does Netflix come to you and say, give us another hour?
I'm in the Netflix family just I'm on a radio show with Tom Papa for them.
Yeah.
We've done for the last
Tom.
5 years.
Yeah, we had him on too.
Yeah, he's awesome. And so right now they've been through Netflix. So
yeah. Well, congratulations.
Who knows? But yeah, so far it's nice to be part of that family, and it's such a, you know, that worldwide platform is so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. December 3rd, crushing it.
December 3rd, which is this upcoming Tuesday.
Yeah.
So while you are...
I talk about crushed ice.
Yes. Oh. So cool. Crushed ice.
Southerners love crushed ice.
Yes, we do.
Real quick story. So the family wants to go on a vacation right before school starts. It's like a last minute thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's take the kids and get them the last giggles out or whatever. And the only place that we can find is a place in Panama City Beach at the Margaritaville.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to go.
Oh, my God. Unfortunate.
You already went?
So, but here's we walk in. There's these beautiful, brand new, like, bungalows, right?
Yeah.
They're brand new. They've been open for like a month. And we go in, and I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't that bad. I thought Margaritaville, surely I'm in for some kind of special treat, redneck-a-rama. But the places were lovely. And in every bungalow, they had a crushed ice. Those little pellets.
Come on now.
They just kept making it. It was a whole bucket like full Sonic. Of them. Yes, and they had a margarita machine. It was like
cherry
you just take
limeade
the crust, like,
with that crushed ice.
There's nothing better than crushed ice. So if when you watch my special, you will see the significance that crushed ice comes into my journey.
Okay.
Crushed ice. All right. So December 3rd, this upcoming Tuesday, Fortune's brand new special is out. Mm-hmm. FUBAR will have another season. Watch the first season, then another season coming out. Release
sometime
date
spring.
TBD.
Oh, and yes. I announced a whole new, I'm announcing a whole new big tour that's starting April 1st.
When do
so
you
another
sleep?
100 cities.
Because you've also got a podcast.
I also have a podcast called Handsome.
Podcast? The Netflix is a joke with Tom Hanks.
It's a lot. Yeah. You should see my calendar. It will make you throw up.
Well, I'm just glad you showed up here.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
This is so
time.
Cool to talk with you guys.
It's been our pleasure. And of course, you're welcome back anytime. I'll tell you what, when you get ready to go on the next tour and you need to sell a couple tickets, you're welcome to come back.
Oh, thank you for
because
sure.
I have two pages of questions, of which I asked three. So
and
there
come
you
to
go.
Atlanta.
I love it. I will.
Atlanta.
Atlanta's a good spot. I did the Cobb Center last time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's
wow.
Huge.
That's huge.
Yeah. It was that show was incredible. So I'll definitely be back.
Nice.
We'll be there.
I can't wait.
We'll be there.
Yeah. So. We'll eat some biscuits.
Yeah. There you go. And crushed ice.
That's right.
All right. Fortune, Faye Mason, thank you very much for joining us. We love you and congratulations
thank
on all this
you.
Success.
Thank you, guys.
Have you been missing something from your life? Of course you have. You listened to the commercial break. And what you've been missing is me, right? No? Damn. Well, if what you're missing is a little giggle, you should follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast because, you know, we're posting clips, we're being silly, you'll get a little laugh out of it, I promise. If what you're missing is communication, text us or call us and leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3822 and someone will respond, definitely. Unless you're being creepy or mean, in which case we won't. And lastly, if what you're missing is a jaunt through the internet, check out our website at tcbpodcast.com and explore to your heart's desire. And those are really all the ways I can help you. So maybe you're missing something from our sponsors? Let's find out.
Well, thank you to Fortune. We are fortunate to have Fortune come in and share a little, spread a little joy with us.
Sprinkle some of her fortune dust.
She's so sweet, you know?
She's so down to earth.
I know.
She's so sweet. She's so funny. She's so talented. I mean,
we've said this about 75% of the guests who are on some meteoric rise, which seems to be the only reason to come to the commercial break. You're either on the way up or on the way down. So let's say 75% of our guests have been on the way up, and they're all taking it so well, in stride. I think maybe they're
very
learning
humble.
Some. Yeah, they're no Brat Packers here. Of course, we didn't have Rob Lowe in 1991. Do you remember when Rob Lowe got busted sleeping with some underage girls here in Atlanta?
Yeah, yeah. It was
after going to Club
it.
Anytime or something.
Yes.
Wasn't it Club Anytime or Backstreet or one of those?
Yeah.
Rob's learned the lessons.
He
though.
Did.
Yeah, and a few facelifts later and he's doing okay. Poor Rob.
I don't think poor Rob. But
what's that?
I don't think poor Rob. I think he's doing quite well,
well
for
no,
himself.
Poor
he's
Rob.
Everywhere. He's in like all these new shows.
I know, and I love Rob. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah.
But
his autobiography was good.
Yeah, but the one too many facelifts. That's all good. That's why reading about Arnold Schwarzenegger's anti-wrinkle diet, I don't know how well it's worked, but you can do it for free. It's like put raw eggs on your face or something
I actually subscribe to his newsletter.
Oh, you do?
Get his newsletter every week, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
He is.
There's no doubt about it. That is like one of the quintessential American tales. Come over here from a strange country, don't know a fucking word, and then make yourself the world's biggest celebrity at one point, and still is. Like Fortune said, he's world famous. That's a different kind of famous. But she's got to be world famous too. Like Netflix is in every country. It's not like you can't see Fortune's shows or comedy specials if you live outside of the United States.
That's right. So for those of you that don't live in the U.S., go turn on Netflix, listen to her special, watch it.
Listen to Chrissy. She's got all the advice that'll help you out. Her new special comes out December 3rd. That's this upcoming Tuesday. If you would do us a favor and Fortune a favor, tune into that special. I think you'll find it to be
crushing
pleasant.
It.
She's crushing it. And she is a very good storyteller. Like she said, those stories are 7 to 10 minutes long, and she does a great job.
I admire this so much, and you are a great storyteller as well.
Oh, thank you.
I think Jeff is, it's a gift. It really is, and something that needs to be honed. I mean, you know, it's like when I go to Mimfo and I come back,
yeah.
You say, what happened?
Like, and you're like, well, I had a drink. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but
you would get like, we would probably have a month's worth of material if I would know how to do the storytelling.
Okay, thank you very much. And I've heard this before from other people, right? It's I don't know how it all started, but I just learned how to weave a tale. And trust me, like Fortune said, 90 to 95% of it is true. But then you got to learn how to twist some parts of it to bend to your comedic will, right. So to speak. That's what you have to do. And so thank you.
Gift.
I'm nowhere as talented as Fortune is at it, but thank you very much. That's very kind. Jeff is a good storyteller too. It's not, and that's not everybody's style of talking or style of thinking. But it resonates with me because I am a storyteller. So when I see somebody else telling a story in a really good way, and then I love it. You are so good at so many other things, Chrissy. Storytelling doesn't need to be your thing. You are a lovely human being who always looks at the glass half full. You're empathetic to all your other friends and family members. You spread joy in this world. Your laughter is fucking infectious, that's for sure.
That's
if we've
so
heard
sweet.
That one time, we've heard it a million times on the commercial break. And
thank
quite
you.
Frankly, people like you a lot more than they like me. So, and that's okay. That's just part
you put
of,
yourself
part
out
of the
there
game.
More.
I do put myself out there more. I give people more reason to dislike me. So, and that's okay. We all have our lots in life and our crosses to bear. And so let us think about that as we head into the Christmas season.
Look for those 12 days.
12 days of TCB. Carrying our cross. Okay, I'm not even going to get into it. Too soon. Too soon. 2024 years later, too soon. It's too soon.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Okay. I apologize if I offended anybody, but you know, I'm a comedy show. What can I do? We got to make a joke here and there. Okay. Fortune's brand new special. Go check it out on Netflix. FUBAR season 2 coming up in the spring. Another 100 city tour on the way.
Yes.
Get tickets fast because all of her shows are sold out. All of her shows are sold out.
We've got to catch her when she's here.
For sure. We say that about a lot of people. And then for one reason or another, we don't go or we can't make it. We've seen a few, but we can't make it to every show. But Fortune is one of those I would put on the map.
Definitely.
Fortune. Well, I'm not going to name them, but Fortune, when Fortune comes, I would love to see it. Yes. And Pete Davidson is out of rehab, or did he ever go?
No,
they
said that he never went.
Well, that's very interesting. Because right after he got off stage in Atlanta, all of a sudden they said he was in rehab.
I know.
But he did tell us when we went and saw him, when he was working on that new material, that he was getting all of his tattoos lasered off.
Oh.
And the tattoo removal is complete, apparently. So now you can see him. You can see his arms. There's no tattoos. There's a little sign, you know, little tiny little ink marks here and there.
Huh.
But that had to have been a very painful process to go through.
A long time.
Yeah.
Takes a lot.
Yeah. So all of Fortune's information will be down in the show notes. So you can go ahead and check her out on her social media, at her website, links to tickets and all that other good stuff. Christina will put it in there. Hey, listen, now every single episode of The Commercial Break is available on youtube.com/The Commercial Break. And soon, if it's not already, every episode will be available on video on Spotify. Check that out. It's the wave of the future.
Spotify
makes another fantastic move to crush revenue in the podcasting industry. But I like it. I like the idea that we can have video on Spotify. Now we just have to figure out how to monetize it. But, you know, who cares? We're not monetizing it anyway, so what does it even matter? Yeah, you know how it goes.
We were getting paid by the people. It was love.
Yes, we're getting paid in love. Unfortunately, my landlord doesn't take love as a payment, but whatever. All those sponsors. No, I'm kidding. There's a lot of sponsors of the show, and thank you to them. Also, at The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. and tcbpodcast.com for more information about the show. All the audio and video is there, too. Your free sticker at the Contact Us button. 212-433-3822, 212-433-3TCB. Thanks for joining us on this special Saturday episode of The Commercial Break. Christy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Enjoy your week. And until next time, we always say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.
If you got a softie in your brain, you're gonna have a softie in your pants. You know what I'm saying?